May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. No doubt we have all sometimes felt heavy, depressed, anxious, or overwhelmed. How do we tend to deal with these experiences? Psalms 42 and 43, which we heard earlier, may offer some resources to help us. Indeed, the whole book of Psalms is a wonderful resource to help us articulate and pray through all kinds of emotions and experiences. There are psalms which express exuberant praise and joyful thanksgiving, those that express delight in creation, prayers of confession, cries of anger, bitterness, and despair, prayers of complaint, expressions of trust, dependence, and hope, and cries for help. So for all of us, we should be able to find a suitable psalm for every experience, every situation. As John Calvin said, the book of Psalms is an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. There is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. Or as Saint Athanasius put it, in the Psalms, you learn about yourself. We learn about ourselves in the light of God's holiness and love. So let's turn to Psalm 42 and 43. We heard them both because these two psalms properly belong together. They're really one psalm. You may have noticed that they have the same refrain throughout. Three times it comes, twice in Psalm 42 and once in Psalm 43. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? O put your trust in God, for I will yet give him thanks, who is the help of my countenance and my God. The author of the psalm is obviously going through a difficult time. He longs for God, as the deer longs for the water brook, so my soul longs for you, O God. He uses that vivid image of thirst in the desert in a parched land. He is desperately thirsty for God, longing for God, but God seems to be absent. He also faces external pressures. He's taunted by his enemies who continually say to him, "Where is now your God?" It seems he is far away from home, unable to worship in Jerusalem. Perhaps he's literally away in the north near Mount Hermon, which is mentioned later in the psalm. For whatever reason, he's not able to worship in the temple, and this makes him feel both cut off from God and also cut off from the worshiping community. He's desperate, and he's not only spiritually dry, he's also overwhelmed. Later in the psalm, in verse 42, verse 9, he speaks as if he's drowning under deep water and crashing waves. Maybe we can identify both with that sense of dryness and emptiness and the experience of being overwhelmed by pressure and anxiety. Certainly for those of us who may have gone through a period of depression, these images can capture our experience very vividly. And we still talk, don't we, about being in the depths. Well, what do we do when we feel barren, dry and empty, or overwhelmed with anxiety or waves of depression in the depths? Perhaps we do what the psalmist does and acknowledge honestly our feelings of being overwhelmed, our fears, our longings, our downcast spirit. But he isn't just getting everything off his chest, as it were. He addresses all this to God, even though he feels that God is absent, that God has forgotten him. He still continues to cry out to God, to address the very God he thinks is absent. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk around mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? And even more strikingly, why have you cast me away from you? Why? He asks several times. Why? As he pours out his soul. We too can be honest about expressing our fears and sufferings, our raw longings and painful questioning, not just articulating these to ourselves or our close friends or our counselor, but addressing these to God. Perhaps we may sometimes think we can't pray when we feel that God is absent. These psalms encourage us to pour out our soul to God at such times, to learn that suffering, emptiness, and depression, rather than paralyzing our prayers, can actually prompt us to pray more earnestly. Remember, even Jesus cried out in desolation to God on the cross using the words from Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But the author of the psalm doesn't only express his feelings before God. He also tries to go beyond his feelings, to think, to turn his mind from his present situation. He looks back and he remembers. First, he remembers the happy times in the past when he joined in worship in the temple. Now, I think there are different ways that we can interpret these verses. It's interesting, one person I spoke to recently said that he saw remembering happy times in the past, which are now lost, as potentially adding more misery to the present. In contrast, and perhaps you might identify with that experience. But for me, I tend to follow the interpretation of my theological principal, who is an Old Testament scholar, and he saw these verses, this remembering, as a positive thing. Now I think on these things, when I went with the multitude and led the procession to the house of God with a voice of praise and thanksgiving amongst those who kept holy day. Psalm 42, verse 4 and 5. He remembers he is part of a community who in their worship and festivals give thanks for all that God has done for them. So he firstly remembers the worshiping community he belongs to, but then secondly, he remembers God himself. Verse 8, my soul is heavy within me, therefore I will remember you. In his heaviness, his depression, his anxiety, he turns his mind to think both of the community he's part of and the God he worships. And he remembers times in the past when he worshipped with joy and thanksgiving. Sometimes for us too, it can help us to look beyond our immediate experience and our overwhelming feelings, to recall that we are not on our own, we are part of a community of God's people, to remember God's faithfulness and times of joy and praise in the past. We all know that if we rely solely on our feelings, our life and faith will go up and down in a very chaotic way. Saint Ignatius of Loyola used to talk about periods of consolation and periods of desolation. When we're in a period of desolation, we have to remember this is not the whole of reality, and a period of consolation will come again. And we need to remember that God is hugely bigger than our feelings. God can be praised and trusted at all times. And this is what the psalmist finally tries to focus on. First, he's expressed his raw emotions. He expresses emotions. He ponders, he thinks, he remembers. And now, finally, he speaks to himself. He urges himself to trust in God while he's going through this time of desolation. And he does this in this refrain, which comes up three times in these two psalms. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Oh, put your trust in God, for I will yet give him thanks, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Why am I giving in to despair? He says to himself. He urges himself to let his awareness of God's presence in the past determine his attitude in the present and look to the future with hope. And although he says, verse 3, tears have been my bread day and night, later, he says, the Lord will grant me his loving kindness in the daytime, and through the night, his song will be with me. Yes, he says to himself, you may feel downcast and disquieted at the moment, but God is still God. Why give in to despair? You must put your hope in God. Things will change, and you will find help and strength from God and be able to praise him again in the future. Don't give up. Keep hoping. Keep trusting. even if the present is unbearable. Wait for God, hope for God, even praise him. For I will yet give him thanks, he says. And this can be translated as I will in the future give him thanks again, or I will continually give him thanks even now. Now, trusting God and praising God when things are overwhelming is a discipline, and an extremely hard discipline. And notice the refrain in these psalms is repeated three times. The psalm is structured in a way that process, that dialectic of expressing feelings, thinking and remembering, and then urging oneself to trust in God, happens three times, ending with the refrain each time. And that in itself, I think, is a reminder that we constantly have to renew our trust in God. When we face anxiety or depression or depression, when we feel alone, when we feel misjudged, when we feel God is absent, there is no once-for-all resolution of our inner turmoil. More realistically, we may go down and come up again, trust God, and then it's another period we may go down again and have to remind ourselves to trust God again, and it may happen again and again. Now, perhaps some of you may be wondering, what about those times when it is impossible to talk to ourselves or renew our trust in God? There may be times when we are seriously depressed and we can't just talk or pray ourselves out of it. A couple of years ago, we had a session after church on mental health and the Christian faith. And many people here spoke about their or their relatives and friends' experience with depression and anxiety. Christians can suffer from poor mental health just like anyone else. And I'm very glad that since that session, there has been much more sense of freedom of people being able to talk about these things and to find a listening support within the community. Sometimes we may find it impossible to pray ourselves, but others can pray for us. At that session, we encouraged people to find professional support when they needed it, to draw support from the Christian community, and to reflect on short scriptural passages that may provide support and encouragement. And we did produce two leaflets, and we've got plenty still left if anyone wants any. One is about emergency contacts that you might need if you are depressed or stressed or anxious, or your family or friends maybe. And the other is a little leaflet with quotations from scripture, especially words from the Psalms, including the words we've heard today. And we're hoping that we will have some kind of follow-up session to that session maybe later in the autumn. Whenever I read these words from Psalm 42 and 43, I always think of John Goldingay, who was the principal of my theological college, and he was an Old Testament lecturer and a very prolific writer. His wife, Anne, suffered from MS, and she already had it when they were married as a young couple. She went on to be a very successful psychiatrist, and they had three children. But when I knew them, she was in her 50s and quite severely disabled in a wheelchair. And John looked after her with great tenderness and care, but it was very, very painful for him. But it did mean that his lectures and his seminars were very real. He wasn't just talking about the suffering of the psalmist or the suffering of Job. He knew what suffering was all about. And yet, like them, he had a very robust trust in God. He loved these psalms, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, and he took their wisdom very seriously. He took it to heart. And when he felt downcast and overwhelmed, he reminded himself to go on hoping and trusting God. He knew that our hope is in God, it's not in our feelings, it's not in our present circumstances. And he also knew that he would face further struggles ahead in the future. And he would remind himself of this truth, not just once, but again and again. So may we be reminded today that we can pour out our souls honestly before God and bring before him our fears, our dryness, our sense of being overwhelmed. let us also remind ourselves at those times that we are part of a Christian community, that we can support one another as we worship together, and that God is faithful through all our joys and struggles. We can trust him. So let us learn to address our own hearts and souls. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? O put your trust in God, for I will yet give him thanks, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Amen.